our Lord and our Savior, our Master and our God. As I stand behind the cross, give grace, Lord, and open our eyes so that we can behold great and wondrous things, Lord, from your word. Heavenly Father, like the disciples who are walking with our Lord on the road to Emmaus, because they did not understand many things, as the scriptures had mentioned, they were in confusion, they were in depression, although they believed. But Lord, when you opened their minds, when you opened their hearts to see, O Lord, the truth in light of reality and in light of the scriptures, O Lord, their burdens were lifted, their eyes were opened, their hearts burnt, their faith was kindled, and it led to worship. Lord, we pray that the same experience you will give us, Lord, in your mercy and your grace. And so, Lord, please help me to hide behind the cross and give me the words through your Spirit, from your word, for your children, for your body. And may it lead, O Lord, in a deeper trust, in deep worship and praise and glory, for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. For those who have heard me share this particular message earlier, I pray that the Lord would reinforce what I have shared earlier. But for those who are hearing it for the first time, may the Lord encourage you. Consider two points, A and B. What is the shortest, quickest route between these two points? Some would say that a straight line would be the shortest, and others would say that a zigzag route would be the best. In theory, a straight line between two points is the best and the shortest route. But in reality, the shortest distance between two points is not always a straight line. In God's scheme of things, the best route between two points in our life's journey is not always a straight line. God sometimes takes us through a zigzag route as the best way to reach our destination, His desired destination, and that is the place of great blessing. And that's what I want to share with you today. But why does this happen? Why does God take us through this roundabout route from where we are to where we should be? And how does that happen? I would like to share the answer to this question from the story of the people of Israel. Why does God take us that way, and how does He help us along the way? I would like to share that from the story of Israel from the book of Exodus. The people of Israel had been in Egypt for more than 400 years. God brought them there so that they would flourish and they would prosper and they would be able to thrive. But after 400 years, for more than 400 years, many things changed for them. That initial time of blessing had passed. Their relatives, who were in places of power at the government in Egypt at that time, had died. And very powerful kings and rulers who were hostile to the people of Israel had come into play. What happened as a result was a place of blessing and flourishing became a place of bondage and slavery and chaos. And in that context, the God who brought them there, who had promised to their forefather Abraham that this would happen, visited them and planned to move them out of that place to a better place a promised place, a place of flourishing, like what Egypt was in the beginning. And that's what we read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 to 41. And this is the time that God was going to take them out, the day after the Passover. And Moses writes like this. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Then in the next chapter, Moses continues. And then he says, then it came to pass in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. As they left Egypt, their entire group, which Moses terms as in military terms as armies, though they were not soldiers, they were just shepherds and fishermen. In the Lord's eyes, they were armies going out. And as he was leading them out, Moses says that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was the shorter route. I'll explain what that means with a map. This is the map of the land of Goshen, Egypt, where the Israelites were. I think it was called Ramesses much later. And they were supposed to move out of Egypt, out of Goshen, and go straight through what we call the way of the Philistines, or the way to the Philistine land, which is this place. This is, I think, the West Bank, where the fighting is all going on now. Okay, and they were supposed to go straight. That was the nearer, shortest route. It was a straight line which they could easily follow. But God did not take them that way. Why? Moses goes on in the remaining verse 17, chapter 13. He says, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. God knew what they could handle and what they could not handle at that point of time. Already, while he was sending the plagues and trying to protect them and defeat the Egyptians, there were lots of complaints. He understood their spiritual depth, and he wanted them to reach the promised land. God purposely did not take his people through the shortest route to the promised land, because that would lead them straight into the hands of the Philistines, who were mighty warriors. The Philistines were not ordinary people. They lived, they had iron chariots, they had iron spears, and they were of huge size. You can think of who do you have in mind when you think of Philistines? Nephilim, Goliath, those are the kinds of people. And here are broken, tired, and desperate slaves coming out of Egypt. And God did not want them to go straight into the mouth of the Philistines. God knew how weak his people were at that point of time. They were just not ready for war. Fighting against the mighty Philistines would result in their sure defeat, and as fast as they came out, they would return back to their land of slavery. The straight route was not the best route for God's people at that time, and that would hinder their goal. And so this is the question I am asking. Why does God sometimes take us on this zigzag route in life's journey? The reason why God sometimes does not take us through the shortest route in life is because that would lead to disaster. It would lead to physical, spiritual, and total disaster. And God does not want that. He wants the best for us. He wants to flourish us. And that is what he wanted for his people. What looks like the easier route in certain situations can end up in disappointment and defeat. I just want you to look back in life, where what you thought was the shortest and the best route towards getting what you had desired, when you look back, was that the best deal or not? There are many times in my life when you come so close to what you feel is the best for you at that stage of life, and it is just like a few months away, and then suddenly from nowhere something happens and the entire thing comes crashing down, and you're asking God, why did that happen? I had worked for a particular research work in biblical studies for 11 years, and I was just a few months from completing what I wrote. Suddenly, some things happened that the entire work of 11 years was gone. I couldn't complete. And this was just before COVID. And when I look back now, at that time, I was so desperate, I didn't know what to do. But when I look back now, I said, Lord, thank you. Because at that time, I couldn't see the implications of completing it. But now when I look back, I understand that probably the zigzag route, the longer route, was necessary and better. How about you? How about you, my brothers and sisters? What I want to leave with you is this. I want you to thank God for whatever journey is happening. It could be like up and down, zigzag. It could be years. But in God's scheme of things, for your good, and so that you can reach the best place that God Himself wants you to reach, that is the best route. That was the best route for Israel, though it was the shorter route. I want us not to grumble, but to thank God for taking us the way He has brought us. Instead of the straight route, God chose to take Israel on a zigzag route, a long route to their destination. The children of Israel, instead of going straight by the way of the Philistines, journeyed from Ramesses or Goshen to Sukkoth, Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. And so God led the people by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, not the way of the Philistines. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 13, verse 18. How did God take them? If you look, He did not take them by the way of the Philistines, the straight route. Instead, they moved from Ramesses Goshen down to Sukkoth. That is a roundabout route. And then from there, again further down, all the way to the tip of this peninsula and up to this place called Itham, which is by the side. So they came by the way of the Sea of the Red Sea. This is the Red Sea. This V branch here is the Red Sea. They went by the way of the Red Sea and they came to Itham. Instead of going like this, they came like a very long route. Humanly speaking, it would be very discouraging. Exodus chapter 13, verse 20 to 22. And so they took their journey from Sukkoth and camped in a place called Etham, at the edge of the wilderness. See, they from Sukkoth, they moved here down to Etham, and this was at the border of, this is the wilderness, the desert, literally, no man's land. You just cannot survive there. So it is getting from bad to worse if you look at it from a route point of view. But that's exactly how God led them, for reasons that He alone knows. And when He reached the edge of the wilderness, this point, Moses notes something in Exodus chapter 13, verses 20 to 22. And the Lord himself went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It is when Israel reached the border of the wilderness and they entered into uncharted territory, that's when God's visible presence appears. The pillar, the Shekinah, the guiding presence, to guide them as a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. By taking the zigzag route meant that they were helpless without a navigator. The other route was very easy. They don't even need a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. But to go the long route without the very presence of God, they just cannot make it. God's guiding presence came just when they needed it. When they left civilized territory and they entered into no man's land and they would not make it through, the Shekinah of the guiding presence of the Lord appeared for his people. When God takes us through a zigzag route in life, he reminds us of his presence and he guides us in tangible ways. God doesn't simply take us and leave us there without guidance. He reminds us of his presence in tangible ways. He guides us in tangible ways. When you have moved in that direction where you're not sure where you're going and you don't know what to do, what God does in his mercy is he reminds us of his presence. How does he do that? How did he do it for Hagar? When you remember the story of Hagar, I'm not taking that passage, but from your memory, when she was driven off by Sarah, and she was just a slave woman for Abraham and Sarah. And when she moved into the wilderness with her son Ishmael, the presence of the Lord came there. The favor of the Lord came there. And God opened Hagar's eyes because she needed water, and opened her eyes to the provision of water through the angel. And in other times, when God called Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son, which they got after many years, God says, take him and give him as a burnt sacrifice to me. When God saw Abraham's faithfulness, what did he do? He says, Abraham, don't touch him. But here, God showed Abraham an alternative and provided that alternative. God guides us in tangible ways when he takes us on that journey of faith, on that zigzag route. I remember the time when the Lord was leading us away from the church that I was earlier a part of, because God said it is time to move. I could sense the timing, and the Spirit of God says, quickly move, go and meet this person and this person. And the Lord, I could feel the presence of the Lord, how he sent and moved me towards making certain decisions so that I could leave in such a way that the church that I was part of would not be hurt, and I would move in the direction that the Lord was leading me. And then as I was speaking with a friend of mine, he says, look, there is a church that I think you would like. Check it out. And that's how the Lord guided me here. But there is a tangible guidance that the Lord gives through messengers of comfort, through specific prophecy, the Lord can guide. Has the Lord met you at a time where you have heard the words of God speak in prophetic utterance because there was no other way in your wilderness? I have. In fact, in this last month, the Lord in his mercy twice gave me through prophetic utterance. And only I and the Lord knew that. And the Lord did it miraculously. He does it. He does it because he loves his children and wants his children to reach their destination. As you think about it, through signs, the Lord reminds you of His tangible presence and guidance. I remember Brother George Matthew was telling that when he left Bombay, he was telling me the story, and all these things were very true, the way that the Lord comforted them, guided them, and brought them. But one of the signs that he said here, even as testimony, I remember, is they were wondering which church to go to. They were staying where they were staying now, their current home. And then they reached a traffic light, and then they didn't know which direction to go in order to come to church. And suddenly the Lord, the traffic light gave green, so they could either go left or something like that, or they could go straight. If they go straight, they'll come to this place. But they didn't know this place, they didn't know how. But the Lord, George said that the prompting was just go straight. Ask for the traffic light, and eventually they reached here, and the rest is history. But I'm just saying, this is how the Lord provides. The Lord gives tangible evidence of His presence and guidance. Providence. The Lord provides. Think about how the Lord has provided for you, even when you felt that things were totally lost. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and that they turn and camp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. The Lord tells them specifically to move from Etham and camp by the side of the sea. Things were getting from bad to worse. Not only did they not go via the straight route, they went deeper into the wilderness and came to a place called Etham. And naturally, they would go through the wilderness by the side of the Red Sea and try to go back to the promised land. But instead, the Lord tells them in Exodus chapter 14, move from Etham and go and park by the beach or the side of the Red Sea. Go a little back. And the reason is that God foresaw that Pharaoh will get the news that they are here, because he has his spies all over there. And something will happen which God foresaw. But the point here is, God is actually making them move from a bad position to reach their destination to an impossible position to reach their destination. The wilderness was good, but what is it when you are parked between no man's land and the deep blue sea? And that's exactly what God told Moses to do, because God had something in mind in this zigzag route. Just as the Lord prophesied and predicted to Moses, this is what the Egyptians did. Exodus chapter 14, 9 to 10. The Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And so they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That's the natural thing. What can a people with no arms, with a bunch of spoons and plates and tents and cattle, what can they do when you are placed between the devil and the deep blue sea? What do you do? Cry out to the one who has brought you. Exodus chapter 14, 19 to 20. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Why? So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus, it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. When the children of Israel cried out in their helplessness, the Shekinah moved from in front of them. In front of them was the Red Sea. The Shekinah was there at the banks of the Red Sea. They were camping. It moved, because God says that I will protect you. It moved and positioned itself behind them and between the Egyptians who were behind them and Israel, so that it was a cloud for the Egyptians, for the Israelites, and it was a fire to the Egyptians. In other words, simply put like this, there was no contact between Egypt and Israel, because the pillar of the Lord was between them. This is a picture like what happened during the 10 plagues, if you remember. What happened when the 10 plagues were hitting Egypt? It hit all of Egypt, but Goshen, the place where Israel was camped, was protected. A repeat of that unique situation was now there at the banks of the Red Sea. One could not go to the other to harm the other. It was a repeat of the Passover, when the angel of death was striking every firstborn in the house of Egypt. The angel of death could not touch the house of the people of Israel, because the mark of the Lord was there. Exodus 14, 21 to 23. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. While the Lord protected them from the attack of the Egyptians, the Lord parted the waters so that they can go and not die, that they can live. The Lord will do the impossible. There is a way out of any trial if the Lord is with you. When the Lord takes us through a zigzag route, He can lead us into situations from which only He can deliver. Because only then will we be fully free from what we can, or from what can hinder our blessing. When God takes us through a zigzag route, He can lead us into situations from which only He can deliver. Because only then will we be fully free from what can hinder our blessing. Why does God take us from a difficult situation in the zigzag route to an impossible situation? In other words, why does the Lord bring us to the end of our ropes so often on the zigzag route? So that we say, Lord, until you step in, I'm gone. He does that so that He can step in, so that we can cry out to Him. You see, because the nature of the problem that we are dealing with, the evil that runs after us, that pursues us to hinder us from being blessed, is so deep and so strong, we don't realize this. The enemy is much, much stronger than we think. And the reason the Lord brings us to these end of the rope situations in life is so that He can step in, and only He can eliminate that enemy. We can't. It is beyond our wildest dreams, the power of what can hinder us back. Only the Lord can deliver us. And when He does it fully and finally, so that it will not get back on us, and we can move forward. Because only then will we be fully free from what can hinder our blessing. Reaching the end of our ropes in this zigzag road is God's need. Because God wants to bless us. I was just thinking about the crucifixion. My brothers and sisters, that was the final solution for Israel. Because Israel had reached such a point in their life. If not for the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was no other way that Israel could be blessed. That was the final solution, the only solution which only God could do. Die and resurrect so that he could bless Israel in a human way. When we reach the end of our ropes, that's because God has brought us there to give us a solution that only he can give. That is not to oppress us, but to bless us. Looking only to God to save us will bring us lasting blessing at these difficult junctures in life. And so we need to wait on God. Our greatest struggle is this: when we are faced with what looks like death for us, for the things that we cherish most, that's when God intervenes. And through the curtains of what is impossible, the Lord makes it possible. He makes a way out. And Moses, and I just want to come back to the beginning of this journey. Now, we have just crossed the Red Sea in the mercy of God, but just before they began the journey, in chapter Exodus 13, verse 19, Moses does something quite strange, but it is noted in the scriptures. It says like this: "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you.'" When they began the journey, before they left Ramesses Goshen, after the Passover, this was something that Moses did. He made sure that the bones of Joseph had died long back, but were taken with them, because for a reason, he did that. And why did Moses make the Israelites to take Joseph's bones with them when they began the journey? That's the question we would ask as we read. The bones were evidence of God's promise that they would reach their destination. It was also the tangible expression of their hope in the promise of God. When you go on this zigzag route, God will give us tangible expression, reminders of his promise that we will reach our destination. No matter how tedious their route was, God would see to it that they reached their destination safely. The bones of Joseph in Joshua chapter 24 verse 32, after they reached the promised land and they are settled in the land, Joshua makes this note. It says like this, the narrator of Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24 verse 32, "The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, in the plot of ground which Jacob had brought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph." The Holy Spirit made sure that it is mentioned that the bones that were taken, that Joseph told them to take, because he knew that God will keep his promise, that they bury those bones after they reach. The journey began with Joseph's bones being taken, and their burial in Canaan marked that God's promise was fulfilled. When God takes us through a zigzag route in life, my brothers and sisters, he gives us tangible reminders of his promise that we will reach our destination. That we will reach our destination. That's God's way of doing things. Our destination is that place that is the best for us, where we can flourish, we can enjoy God, we can love God and people, and we can be all that God had made us to be. This is both a spiritual and a physical, a holistic blessing. But here is the point. As we go on these journeys, God reminds us tangibly that I will make you reach there. I will make you reach there. Does the Spirit of God bring to your mind any such tangible promises? Many years back, I'll just leave you with one instance that I've mentioned once before, but I'll just say this because it is fitting here. Many years back, I was called for a seminar to a group of churches long back in Bangalore. It was the first time that I had been called to that group. And I was not feeling very comfortable to go. I was quite hesitant because I didn't know what I would be sharing to this group. It was a 3-day camp in the outskirts of Bangalore, and they had arranged a campsite. That's a huge, more than 2-3 acres of land, and you know, it was a campsite, a 2-3 day seminar. It was during the time that the Lord was radically challenging me and changing me and speaking to me, causing me to have a shift in a deeper understanding of the truths that I believed in earlier. And so it's a time of testing for me. And during this time, I was called to this camp. At that camp, I entered the camp. There were people I knew and there were people I didn't know. The topic that they asked to share in the camp, at the last minute on the campsite, they changed it for some reason. And then suddenly another brother who had heard me speak one particular topic long back, he said, "So why don't you take this topic? That would be very nice." And so I changed the topic and I shared that topic, but it did not go well. It did not go well. There were a number of people that were disturbed, but there were a group of people that were really encouraged by that. There was a group that it's almost like they were expecting God's word, and they said that it was probably one of the best camps that they attended. But many others were very disturbed by what I shared. I don't know why to this day. I knew the Spirit of God was working. And so those 3 days camp was a time of immense prayer and testing from the Lord. As we share, we just don't know how people would respond because we don't know the people. But at the same time, you look to a few crowd of people who are encouraged, and you see that God is moving in their hearts. It's similar to how when Paul goes in for his journeys, he goes to different places, there will be a majority will be having some problem, but there will always be a group of people that the Spirit of God works in that will always, you know, and I was very encouraged by that group. But I'm saying all this to say that after the 3 days camp, as I was walking out of that campsite, I was just taking my walk, and I was just nearing the gate. Suddenly when I looked, at one point I stopped and I looked right down at my feet, and from nowhere I saw that there was this paper clip that I used to keep in a very secret pocket in my bag. It was a paper cutter actually, a paper cutter. I know I'm the only one that had that. Suddenly my eyes fall on that paper cutter and I'm thinking, Lord, how did that fall out in the first place? And how come my eyes in this huge camp on this day and as about to leave directly fall on that as I'm about to leave? And the word of God, the Spirit of God spoke to me and says, what you lose or what you lost, I'll give you back. Why am I sharing this? Because now when I look back, I understood what the Lord meant. Because after that, many, many things happened, ups and downs. My wife knows, our family knows how things went. This is way back. But God, in His mercy, provided a tangible reminder that He will keep his promise. There was no way that that cutter could fall out of my bag. That's the way I positioned it. I did not know when it fell. Most likely when I entered the campus at the gate, we never came to that part during the camp. And as I was leaving, it's almost like this is meant for you to see. Take it and put it back. Why am I sharing this, my brothers and sisters? It's just to say this from the journey of the people of Israel from Exodus, that God sometimes takes us through zigzag routes in life. Why? Because sometimes the shorter route would lead us to spiritual harm and will not ground us in the Lord to enjoy His blessing. But as God takes us through this zigzag route, I want us to rejoice and say, Lord, thank you. You know me, you know the landscape, you know what I need, and you know that I need to be conformed to your image. Thank you. Worship Him for the zigzag route, because that's a customized journey that only the God of Israel can make for you. And as He does that, remember, when you need Him most, He'll give you tangible expressions of His presence. And He will give you tangible expressions of His guidance. But He will sometimes take you to the point that it is the end of your rope. You just cannot handle it. But that's because God will deliver you, and only He can deliver you at that point. At that time, He does that because you need to be rid of that opposition that would hinder your blessing. And the Lord will do it. He won the victory on the cross. He did the impossible for the world. He can do it for you. And as you continue on this journey, experiencing the joys and the victories and the blessings of God, the Lord will turn your eyes to those little signs of reminders saying, I will keep my promise. I will keep my promise. The Apostle Paul said, when he gave the Holy Spirit to us, he says that the Holy Spirit is a deposit, an assurance that you will reach the promised land for those who have believed in His name. May God bless us with these words. I would like Brother Siju to please pray for us before we close.